Cochrane for all. Better evidence for better health decisions.
Hello and welcome back to the Cochrane for All podcast. This is Andre and I'm here with Lisa Hinton, Deputy Director for Applied Research from the Health Experiences Research Group in Oxford. Hi Lisa.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
You gave a great keynote. I think a lot of people in the room knew about Health Talk already and knew about the kind of history of this project in Oxford, and I guess within the research community it's really well known. One of the questions that you were asked, which I thought was really interesting, was health policy views on different types of research and how they prioritise different types of research, qualitative versus quantitative. Actually, we had a tweet come through from Sonia Johnson from UCL, who's the director of the new Mental Health Policy Research Unit, and she said economic analysis is at the top, and then quant, and then maybe qualitative underneath, but it's still very important for certain questions. What do you think about that? How does that relate to your work?
Well, the work that we do is qualitative research based on interviewing patients and relatives about their experiences of a particular health condition. And once we've analysed those interviews and come out with the key themes and insights, we are able to present some of those findings through audio and video clips, which can be incredibly powerful. And we can present those findings illustrated by stories. So anyone who's ever been in a room listening to some of these clips know how moving it can be to hear an individual patient or relative talking about their own personal experience. And so I think the qualitative insights that we can get from this experience has a power to connect policymakers. It's rigorous research, and it has to sit alongside the quantitative research, but it's part of the overall picture. If you think of trying to influence policymakers with a kaleidoscope of evidence, I think qualitative research and patients' experiences within that is a really important part of the picture.
Yeah. So healthtalk.org is the website. Who's that website for? Who's it primarily aimed at?
In its early days, we thought that the Health Talk website was going to be for patients and their relatives. We felt that it was those individuals that needed to understand more about the lived experience of a particular condition. We started out with breast cancer and prostate cancer back in the early days, and we now have 110 different conditions. But we've rapidly realised that in addition to writing it and producing it for patients and carers and relatives, it's also been used and incredibly valuable and useful for clinicians, for people who are training the clinicians of the future in medical schools, and also for policymakers and making accessible to all of those groups what the lived experience of a particular condition is like.
I remember using it in my late 20s, so that must have been quite early on when I got diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, and looking at some of the videos, mm-hmm. and that was really helpful for me connecting up with people who had the same condition. That was in really early days of social media, so you didn't have the same support that you have nowadays.
Yeah, and could I just touch on something there? So what I think is unique about what we present on Health Talk is we present, because we sit down and ask someone about their whole experience, we present the whole journey. So when you look at the module on type 1 diabetes, you get perspectives right from when people are early diagnosed all the way through to what it's like to have lived with that condition for 10 or 20 years, which is quite unusual in terms of health experiences. You can share experiences online now and find out what it's like one-to-one, what it's like to live at a particular moment. But I think one of the unique things about Health Talk is that it gives you the whole patient journey and gives you a real sense of where you are on that journey as an individual.
Yeah, you allude there to the fact that, you know, online communication has developed fairly significantly in the last 20 years, mm-hmm. and I guess there's lots of opportunities for Health Talk to do different things with social media and to find people where they are in different places online. How are you doing that? How are you using social media to get your content out there to other conversations?
Well, I mean, the website is there and is publicly available, and you can watch the videos and listen to the audios on there wherever you are in the world. We have a social media presence and are trying to both kind of have a voice on social media and Twitter, etc. And we're also involved in working in developing these approaches in other countries. I talked earlier in the presentation about the DIPEX International Collaboration, which has been growing over the last 15 years with high-income countries, starting with Japan and now including 13 other countries around the world who are all doing similar studies published on websites in their own countries. And we're also looking to expand this into low-middle-income countries and test out how capturing patients' experiences of a particular condition can be used in those settings. And we're mindful that websites may not be the answer in those settings, and that other platforms might be the way to go forward, be that mobile phone apps or radio podcasts or whatever. So we're really excited about taking it into those new fields and finding new ways to share this research.
Yeah, and I guess people use it in really different ways. So my experience of using it when I first got diagnosed was to spend quite a significant amount of time looking through lots of different videos. But I suppose people might also dip in to answer a specific question about, you know, side effects of medication. That was one of the points that was made in the Twitter feedback. So is that something that you see, the use of the site, people going in and watching one video and then coming straight back out again?
Absolutely. So when we track the way that the site is used, we're very mindful. And when we produce the site, we're very mindful that people don't necessarily come in and start at the beginning like they might read a book or a magazine, that actually they will come at it from all sorts of different areas. And people do go in and just read about side effects of medication, then pop straight back out again. But oftentimes people might go in and then realise that there are other aspects of their illness or their relative's illness that they're interested in exploring, and start to meander around and look at some of the other content.
Yeah, and I understand you're doing a workshop here at the conference.
Yep. So Dorothy Olawoch, who was presenting this morning about the Kenyan mother's experiences of preterm birth, and I are running a workshop on Tuesday morning, where we're going to be exploring a little bit more about how we go about doing these studies. So talking through what the methodology is really kind of underpinned by, and then explore how we think these experiences and these insights can be used in service improvement and policy making in low income settings. So please come along and brainstorm with us tomorrow morning if you're interested.
Great. Thanks for talking to me. Good luck.
Thank you.
Cochrane for All. Better evidence for everyone. Follow the hashtag Cochrane for All to get the science and evidence to empower better decisions.